Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Hanlon, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you, joining us now, covering the world of college football for the National Football Foundation and Football Writers Association of America in the Super 16 poll. Our good buddy John Wagner, find him on Twitter at John Wagner Sport. John, my friend, how are you? Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking the time, as always. We are now 3 weeks through the college football season.
Yes, we are. Anthony, good morning. Hope you're doing well. Are all your dreams, college football dreams, coming true so far?
You know what? They are. I mean, with Ohio State losing and then all the fans questioning, you know, the game against Tulsa, and now their attendance is down. They are in an absolute, they're just in shambles down there in Columbus. So all I can do is giggle at them, right? And then up here, we have both Michigan and Michigan State sitting at 3-0, both ranked in the top 25 now. And things are, I think, very good for the college football landscape as a whole, especially for the Big Ten with Penn State's victory over Auburn. I think that, you know, we're really hoping and praying that Michigan and Michigan State can make it both teams undefeated going into the rivalry game for Paul Bunyan. So, yeah, all is well throughout the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that Michigan State's win at Miami was really impressive. I mean, that was, they shellacked them. And there's been a lot of good work done by Mel Tucker and his group there. Part of that is I know now, obviously, I massively overrated Miami this year, but I still think that's a decent team. And Michigan State just took a shillelagh to them, just crushed them. That was very impressive win.
Yeah, they really did. It all starts up front, right? Kenneth Walker III is making himself a household name around college football fans. I mean, he had 27 carries for a 172, didn't get into the end zone. But if that's the biggest knock, like, okay, you ran the ball for 172 yards, kid, you did fine. He also had 3 catches for 17 yards and did get into the end zone on the receiving side of things. So definitely a positive for him. His all-purpose yardage is crazy. He's one of the leaders in all of college football. And I was really high on Michigan State going into that game. I think that that should have been Miami's third loss. They snuck one out against App State. They got housed by Alabama, which you would kind of expect to begin with. But that Michigan State team, the way that they were kind of building a little bit of momentum, starting things off with a good road win in Chicago against Northwestern. They came back home and they pummeled Youngstown State exactly like they were supposed to. You feel fresh. You go down there with an attitude that, hey, they're top 25. They're ranked. We're not. Let's go down there, punch them right in the mouth and see what happens. And although it was scoreless after the first, Michigan State with a lead at halftime and then the fourth quarter, they just wore Miami down in Miami, Florida, which is humid, right? And it felt like Michigan State had enough juice and enough stamina that it almost made them look like they were the home team playing under their sort of normal conditions.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Miami and getting shellacked by Alabama to start the season. Did you happen to watch your Crimson Tide there, Anthony? You're the guy who said, oh, yeah, they're going to go undefeated and unchallenged this season. There's no way they lose.
I haven't lost yet. John. I mean, Florida got cute with them, but they didn't lose.
They came super duper close to losing, though.
I mean,
they came within a whisker of doing it.
I am the king of, hey, super duper, we almost won. I will claim that title, but not for Florida, not for this bet. My friend, I did see what Alabama was able to do, and we can get to them, but I wanted to get your thoughts too on Penn State. Obviously, with Auburn, their first trip to a Big Ten team since 1931, we were hanging out of the side of Model T's with Thompson submachine guns in our hands back in the day. John, Prohibition was lifted, business was booming back the last time that Auburn made a trip north of the Mason-Dixon line, and this is why SEC teams don't come north, right? A whiteout in atmosphere. Penn State's running out of the tunnel. They're coming out in between the band. The fireworks are shooting off into the sky. It's a whiteout. Happy Valley is just going nuts. That, to me, this is why these big marquee games have to be on campus. Get rid of the neutral site. Stop with the Jerry's World and the Superdomes and this, that, and the third. Get that out of here. I want these games on campus for that reason and that reason alone. That home field meant something. Penn State 28-20 over Auburn. That was not only big for the Nittany Lions, that was big for all of the Big Ten.
It was, but Auburn really held their own with Penn State. I mean, that was quite a game by both sides. Both are two good teams, right? I think the reason you should be impressed by Penn State's performance is because Auburn was really good. they challenged them in that game. They did not, they didn't fall apart. They didn't struggle. You know, it wasn't that they played terribly. It was that Penn State played better. That was really a very impressive win by Penn State. No question.
Does it do anything for the conference in the long term? Because now we have to carry these conference banners because we all want to know, you know, who's the best, and we don't want two SEC teams again in the in a college football playoff sort of scenario. So what does that win for Penn State do for the conference as a whole, or is that something that you don't even really bother with?
I think it's still too early to worry about that. You know, you're building resumes right now as teams, not as conferences. I mean, as it stands right now, this championship Final Four is not built on getting the best team from the four best conferences. So we need to figure out who the four conferences are first. Nobody cares who the four best conferences are. I shouldn't say that. It's not important which of the four is, or which is the best conference. That's what I should say. It is not important right now to figure out who the best conference is. I think over the course of the next 2 months, it'll become clearer. And I don't understand. I guess I've never understood why people are in such a hurry to try and make these proclamations now. I mean, all you're basically doing is setting yourself up for stone cold takes. Like, you know, man, look at the Pac-12 this year. They are going to be great. You know, that's what you're setting yourself up for.
Did you do that to yourself, John?
John, could you imagine some knucklehead saying something like that?
John, did you just tell on yourself? Why did you do that? Because you're fair and honest, that's why.
Because, well, yeah. And, you know, I'm basically trying to tell you what I saw from last year that carried over to this year. Pac-12 had a bunch of veteran teams with good quarterbacks coming back. And so far outside of Oregon, it's pretty much unanimous that they've spit the bit on different levels. You know, UCLA.
Oh.
I mean, heck, you know what, Anthony? May I ask you to ask me a specific question?
I would, yes.
May I do that?
Yes, absolutely.
Would you ask me what the best group of five team is right now, in my opinion? And before I answer, in your opinion, who's the best group of five team right now?
Cincinnati.
That's yours?
Yeah.
They're good. They're good.
They're tough.
They're not great, though. I mean, had Indiana played better, Indiana would have beaten them. And, in fact, it was one unfortunate play where Indiana's star linebacker went in and got hit with a, what's the penalty? The targeting penalty, which, and it was the correct call. He targeted the quarterback or got, should have been hit with the penalty. But the penalty came on a third down incompletion. Cincinnati had done nothing to that point. They were going to have to punt. Indiana was taking it to them, and instead, Cincinnati got to drive for a touchdown. Indiana lost their best defensive player, and Cincinnati went on to win. I'll tell you right now, you want the Alabama bet for Cincinnati, Anthony, that Cincinnati goes undefeated? You want to take the Cincinnati bet that way?
No.
You don't.
No.
They're going to get beat, and it's soon. It's soon.
So then soon. John, who would be, are you going to go out on a limb? Are we going West Coast right now? Are you going back because the Pac-12 failed you? That's what they did. It wasn't that you were incorrect. It's that the Pac-12 has deeply offended and failed you, John. They have not lived up to the expectations set forth by the Holy Scribe, John Wagner of the National Football Foundation and Football Writers Association of America. Are we going back out to the West though? Are you going with the Bulldogs? Is that where you're going? You go to Fresno?
Oh no, you went too far west.
Oh,
I thought you had me, but no, you went too far west.
No, oh, you're not going to the Mormons.
Oh, I sure am.
Oh, how about those Cougars, huh?
They look really good. And of course, Anthony, they have beaten three Pac-12 teams. My God, if you beat three Pac-12 teams this year, you should go to the championship right now.
They should play in the Pac-12. They should give them the Pac-12 championship trophy.
I believe so. And let's talk seriously for a second. BYU really looked good on Saturday against an Arizona State team that did not play terribly. They did not play great, but they did not play terribly. And BYU beat them. I mean, handled them. I'm going to tell you, I watched Cincinnati extensively on Saturday. I watched Coastal Carolina extensively on Saturday. And I watched BYU extensively on Saturday. And my Super 16 poll has Cincinnati in front of BYU. But in my heart of hearts, I know I'm wrong. I know that's wrong.
Oh, wow. John Wagner going with the BYU Cougars. Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, BYU, and they're going to make that move as well. You know, they're going to get up to the Power Five. It's happening, and good for them. God bless them. You know, and it's I think that's good for everybody across the board. The way that the National Football Foundation Super 16 looks this week, Alabama 1, Georgia 2, which, by the way, how does Georgia get 6 first place votes? I'm sorry, but to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. You don't say, hey, this guy in a pound for pound fight, he looks pretty good, so we're going to call him number one. We're going to 6 people say that he deserves to be number one. No, you got to go out there and beat him. And if you beat the champion, then you get the belt and then you get to be number one. So that's just how I look at this. Oregon 3, Oklahoma 4, Iowa, Penn State, Texas A&M, Clemson, Cincinnati, and the Ohio State Buckeyes round out the top 10 with Florida, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Iowa State, Michigan at 15, and BYU at 16. The reason I bring this up is, John, there has been a beef on Twitter. You know that everybody on the internet, they are very much, they're all very sensible individuals. They're all very fair and all very honest. But one of the questions being asked by many people in the greater East Lansing area is, why in the world is Michigan ranked 19th and Michigan State ranked 20th in the AP poll? In this Super 16 poll, Michigan is ranked 15. Michigan State, not ranked, but did receive 45 votes, which trails Coastal Carolina and Arkansas. Are we right here? Are we wrong here? Should Michigan State feel their patented disrespect?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. My goodness. That's not even competitive. I mean, Michigan State has done far, far, way a lot more than Michigan has done this year. I mean, Michigan has played well. They have done what they were supposed to do with the cream puffs that were placed in front of them. And yes, Washington eventually is going to figure it out. It's going to be decent. But at the time Michigan played Washington, they were a dumpster fire. They were a dumpster fire. Okay? And Michigan State, you might argue that Miami is a dumpster fire as well. I can see that argument. I would not dismiss it out of hand. But Miami is way better than Washington right now. And the two MAC schools that Michigan beat, I mean, come on now. Seriously, trust me. Anthony, do not ask me about the Michigan game, because I happened to turn over to it when the Northern Illinois coach was going to kick a field goal from, where were they, the 2? On fourth down, they're on the 2-yard line. And the announcer said, oh, the coaches said they're going to be aggressive today. And so they're kicking a field goal from the 2. And I'm like, that's not aggressive. That's fetal. I mean, that's fetal. If he makes it, the final score of this game is Michigan, however many points they want, Northern Illinois 3. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. Yeah, long story short, Michigan has nothing to be ashamed of, but if you're ranking the 2 teams, State has done more. State has done more. Now, and let's finish with full disclosure. I don't have either of those teams in my top 16. I gave consideration to one of them, Michigan State, but I did not put them in the top 16.
I find that very interesting. I do find that very, and I could see where Michigan State fans would be coming from if they feel like Miami shouldn't be an 0-3 team, like they should have still been ranked, even though App State took them to the wire. you know, because they have the same record as Washington does right now. They were both in the, you know, they were both at one point ranked, and now both of them are unranked. So I could see it. Like, yeah, it makes sense. Youngstown State, like, okay, and they have a conference win. Like, that's going to carry more weight than beating Western Michigan and Northern Illinois. So maybe Michigan State fans have a reason to be perturbed here when it comes down to these rankings, because I love rankings and I think this stuff is fascinating, right? I can't get enough of this. There isn't really another team out here. Everything kind of sort of roughly stayed the same, from last week to this week when it comes to a lot of the other teams that we have discussed. But my last one here for you is, how much trouble is Ohio State in, or are Buckeye fans that spoiled that they just don't know how to handle a little bit of adversity? Because remember, in 2014, they lost the game early as well.
Yeah, you just asked me two very different questions. Is Ohio State in trouble defensively? Yes, they are. That team needs to be way better than they are defensively. There are still teams on their schedule that will expose them before the season is over. They may beat some teams that would surprise you. I think Iowa does not match up well against them, for example. And I'm not even sure that they play one another. They're in opposite divisions, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't believe Iowa's on their schedule. I can double check that.
Yeah, don't worry about that. That's not important. I'm just saying, if those two teams play, they do not match up well. Iowa runs the ball too much. Their passing game is not built to take advantage of Ohio State. So that gives Ohio State a chance. But there are other teams on Ohio State's schedule that are built to take advantage of them and will take advantage of them. However, the more important question is your second one. Is Ohio State's fandom spoiled that suddenly they don't show up for a game after they lose to Oregon? Which, by the way, I have them number 5 in my poll. Where are they in the latest poll?
In the latest Football Writers Association of America Super 16 poll, the Ohio State Buckeyes sit at number 10.
Where's Oregon?
Oregon is all the way up at number 3.
You lost to the number 3 team in the country. You are seriously going to jump off the bandwagon after that? I got two words for you, Anthony. Are you ready?
Oh, man, can't wait.
Pathetic.
Wow.
Pathetic. That is, or these two words, awful, awful. That's just beyond lame. If you're an Ohio State fan who's jumping off the bandwagon at this moment in time, turn your scarlet and gray in, go find another team, go find another program. That is just ludicrous. It's ridiculous. I'm going to need to pull out the thesaurus to tell you all the usses that is. That is dreadful.
He is John Wagner, and you Ohio State fans are preposterous. John, my friend, as always, thank you so much for the time. Always a great conversation. Love having you on. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, everybody, you know where I am at on Twitter, so look forward to talking to all those Buckeye fans this week. Hope everyone has a great week.